The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not say a word in answer to her. His disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." He said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did him homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that hour. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Okay, here's the story of the Canaanite woman in the region of Tyre and Sidon. A very helpful story for anybody who knows the frustration of praying to God and receiving no response whatsoever. Okay? So here's the only story in the scriptures in which Jesus refuses to act, not once, but twice. "Lord, have pity on me, son of David." To which Jesus responds with dead silence. And by the way, just as an interesting side note there, the words that she actually uses, "Kyrie eleison." And then she says, "Lord, come and help me." And our Lord says, "It's not right that you should take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs," which doesn't even sound like Jesus and leaves us kind of confused as to how he should say such a thing. And it's important to remember that although we know what was said, we don't know how it was said. Sort of like words without music. And the desperation of this woman is something that's important to understand. She's got two strikes against her. She's a Gentile and she's a woman, which makes it culturally very, very awkward for her to approach a Jewish rabbi and ask for help, which just goes to show just how desperate she is. And so, you know, you got to ask the question, why does our Lord act this way towards this desperate, needy woman with such a good cause? And the best answer that I've ever been able to find comes from St. Augustine, who says that our Lord knew exactly what he wanted to do for this woman and had every intention of doing it. But he had to draw out of her cooperation through her prayer, her humility, and her perseverance. We are not passive recipients of God's grace. We are active cooperators. And our response enables God to grant and for us to receive things that our Lord wants to give us all along. St. Augustine says that when you pray to our Lord and you're met with silence, he says there's one of three reasons for this. He says that you're praying, in St. Augustine's words, aut mali, aut male, or aut mala, which is a way of saying you're praying in a bad way, for a bad thing, or that it's coming from a bad person. Tiny little word of explanation for each one of those three. That you're praying in a bad way. I hope that makes sense already, that you don't need too much explanation for that. Words without thoughts never to heaven ascend, right? We want to pray attentively and with our heart in the right disposition. For a bad thing. It takes a certain measure of humility to recognize that God knows better than you do and God loves better than you do, and that it's entirely possible for your mind to concoct a petition which God knows is actually not good for you, or that he has even something better in mind than you've ever been prepared to imagine, right? for a bad thing. The hardest one of those three, though, is the last one, outmala, by a bad person. And it doesn't so much mean that you're bad as that you're not disposed yet to receive what our Lord wants to give. Listen, great things take time. Great works of art. Can't rush art. Great bottle of wine takes time to age and to mature. There's no artwork and there's no work under the heavens more beautiful and more worthy than the work of the preparation of your soul for God. And it takes time. And sometimes our Lord needs to draw these qualities out of us. You know, that's what the whole wandering in the desert was all about for the Israelites. They weren't ready for the promised land. God had to get them ready, and their perseverance and their humility made them ready. Our Lord loved to give gifts to outsiders. Does it all the time in the gospel. Story of the Roman centurion, right? Whose daughter was dying back at home. Says, Lord, just say the word, and my daughter shall be healed. I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. And our Lord says, never in Israel have I found such faith. Or the woman afflicted with hemorrhages. If I can just touch the tassel of his garment, I'll be healed. And our Lord says, go in peace now. Your faith has saved you. Our Lord loves to give gifts to outsiders. And this is to teach his apostles and us that proximity to our Lord is not enough, and neither is doctrinal purity enough. What's needed is a perfect disposition of the heart for the love union that our Lord wants for us. Heck, even the demons can quote the scriptures. They know the doctrines. They know them quite well. And nobody was physically closer to our Lord than the apostles, which included Judas Iscariot, but that didn't do him much good, right? So our Lord wants to draw these beautiful qualities out of you. And the message for today is now, don't feel bad if you have to soldier on in your faith. Don't feel bad if you have to keep on plodding. Many, many saints have plodded before you, and our Lord will not leave your good hope unrewarded. So let's just imitate the faith, humility, and perseverance of this woman here in the gospel today, and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us as well. Saint Dominic, pray for us.